Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning, and we encourage you to tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs under the radio tab and MP3 files. You'll also find our Bible videos, which are 30 minutes in length, with different topics that are listed in alphabetical order. Just go to the special study tab, hit it, and the first box that will pop down is Bible videos. Hit that and you can see all the Bible videos that we have listed there. There's a host of other related material there that can help you, and we ask you to give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all these services. You will always be warmly received. Our aim is very simple, to show you need for God in your life to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. All we want you to do is come with an open Bible and an open mind and let us worship and study God's Word together. For the past few months, we have been examining the writing of Peter, and we're now in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to conclude that chapter this morning by looking at verses 18 through verse 22. So if you have your Bibles there with you, I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went in preaching to spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Now these last verses have to do with Christ's reward for suffering, and they are very controversial. There's a lot of false teaching that's done about these verses, and we'll touch upon it, but we will not go into great detail because that is not our intent in this particular study. We notice in verse 18 that Christ suffered for once for sin. Note that Jesus suffered for the righteous, for the unrighteous. He suffered not because of any sin, any evil that he did. He suffered because he suffered for us. He suffered for the unjust. Why did he do that? The goal was he suffered unrighteousness in order to bring them to God. He did that in order that he might bring us to God. He took the suffering and the punishment and the pain that we should have endured by our own conduct, and he took it upon himself, and his goal was to lead us to Christ in order that we might be able to have life in him. And so he did that. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Yes, Christ died in the flesh, but he rose on the third day, and his spirit came out of Hades and did not remain there. Now, what follows is a statement that demonstrates what the resurrection of Christ means to us. Notice in verse number 20. Now, I want us to read again verse 19 and 20. Now, I think we understand verse 18 fine in that he was put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. He overcame the grave and by the power of his resurrection. But now in verse 19 and 20, it says, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, how did he go to preach to the prison in the prisoners in spirit, in prison? Now, how did he do that? It says, in the days of Noah. Now, again, many people have taken this passage out of context and said this is where Jesus goes into the Hadean realm and preaches to those who had not yet obeyed the gospel. Oh, that's wishful thinking, but that's not what this is talking about. Notice it says the Spirit through Christ in the days of Noah. What did Noah do while the ark was preparing? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, The Bible said, 2 Peter, we read that Noah in verse 5, 2 Peter 2, verse 5, said that he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Notice that the spirits that were in prison were those who were imprisoned to sin. These were men and women who were imprisoned to sin during the days of Noah. And Peter preached to them. What did he preach? He preached for them to repent, to turn back to God, because God was going to destroy the world with a flood, and all those outside the ark were going to die. And so he preached repentance. He preached for them to turn back into God and to turn back and repent of their sins. They were in prison. They were in the prison of sin. They were in the bondage of sin. And so it says, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. The Spirit of Christ was preached through Noah in order to bring men to repentance. But notice in verse number 20, it says, who formerly were disobedient. Who was formerly disobedient? Who were formerly disobedient when the divine long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah? Who were the ones that were previously, who were the ones that were formerly disobedient? Those are the ones that were in the prison of sin. Those are ones who were, that verse 19 talks that their spirit was imprisoned in the bondage of sin. And since their soul was in the spirit of bondage and sin, they were disobedient. And while in the divine long-suffering waited, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Read back in Genesis chapter 6. It took him 120 years. God gave man 120 years to turn away from evil, to turn away from sin, and to be redeemed or to be repented and being forgiven by turning to God. And yet during that 120 years, Noah had no converts. Not one person repented save his three sons and their wives and his wife. And so again, he gave them the opportunity. The divine long-suffering waited. God waited. But man did not respond. They chose to stay in the bondage of sin. That was their choice. And it's man's choice today. You can serve God or you can serve sin. You can be in bondage to the Lord and be his bondservant, or you can stay in the bondage of sin. It's up to you. But it says, in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, God's long-suffering was seen, that he gave men 120 years to repent. And yet I'm sure they laughed him to scorn. They'd never seen rain. They didn't know what it was. And they probably thought Noah was foolish building this great ark in the middle of woods with no rain in sight. And again, they failed to repent. But God gave them the opportunity in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, eight souls were saved. Noah and seven others were saved by the water as they were lifted above the destruction of the flood. But everyone outside the ark died. Why? Because they would not repent. They would not turn away from sin. Even though God gave them the opportunity to do so, they determined not to. And then in verse 21, it talks about the antitype. You see, the antitype was an antitype that illustrates that salvation is made possible through baptism. Good conscience. Baptism is an appeal or inquiry to God for a good conscience by the resurrection. The good conscience comes through Christ by the resurrection from the dead. Why? Because then he ascended back to his Father, and he went up before the throne and before his Father, the Ancient of Days, and he offered the blood that he shed upon the Christ. And it was accepted as the payment for sin. The resurrection is evident that Jesus is God's Son, according to Romans 1, verse 4. By the resurrection, Jesus ascended to appear before the face of God for us. Read Hebrews 9, 23 through 26. Otherwise, preaching is in vain. Faith is in vain. And we are yet in our sins without hope. Read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11 through 19. Notice, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's not why baptism saves us. It's the answer of a good conscience to God. It puts us in contact with the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary, and that's why it saves us. Now, in verse 22, it says he's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers, having been made subject to him. He's at the right hand. The blessing for Jesus' suffering was his exaltation. He ascended to God's right hand. He was far above all rule and power. Because he suffered for God, he was highly exalted and gave him a name that's above every name. Read Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Our blessing. Jesus has promised his people, if they overcome, he will give them to sit down with him on his throne of his Father, as his Father did for him. Read Revelation 3, verse 21. Now, what I want you to see in these passages is that there is a great reward. There is a great reward for suffering. Jesus suffered, and yet he was rewarded. He was exalted. Noah did what was right. He built the ark. He saved his family. He saved his sons and their wives, and he saved eight. And he gave 120 years for other people who were their spirit was in the bondage in prison of sin. And he gave them the opportunity to repent and turn back to God. And they rebelled and were stubborn and would not. And then, because of that, they were lost in the flood. Now again, this is not talking about preaching to people who die unprepared to meet God. That's wishful thinking, but that's not what's under consideration. God is using the illustration of in the days of Noah, how he gave men time like he gives men time today, and how they have the same opportunity then that they had now. And that baptism, as the water saved Noah and his family as the ark rised above the earth, baptism now saves us, not by getting wet, not by removing filth of our body from our flesh, but by the answer of a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. It's by his resurrection that blood has power, because it was offered as a down payment for sin and received. Read Hebrews chapter 9, 23 to the end of the chapter. And now he has been given all authority in heaven and earth. He said that himself in Matthew 28, 18. He is above all principalities and powers, everything being made subject to him. Why? Because he was faithful. Because he did what his Father sent him to do. And he did it because he loved his Father and he loved us. Now, in conclusion, we are called for a blessing. Christians, we are to remind ourselves we have been called for God to inherit a blessing. But that blessing cannot be inherited unless we're willing to suffer. Jesus showed us that despite men's suffering, as in his own life, God will reward them with great blessing, suffering, and exaltation. Christians must, therefore, be willing to suffer for good, knowing that God will highly exalt them in due time. Read 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. You see, it's a choice, ladies and gentlemen. We can suffer for doing good, and we can continue to do honorable things, or we can revile and give evil for evil, and what we will do, we will give up our hope that we have in Christ. We have to do it God's way. We must do it according to God's terms, and we must acknowledge that God's ways work and men's ways do not. We must be willing to suffer for doing right. When we suffer for doing right, we are blessed by God. God is honored by us, and we have demonstrated what Christianity means to the alien sinner. What about it, dear listener? Are you willing to suffer for good, or do you want to follow the course of the world? It's a choice God leaves in your hands. We hope and pray that you'll choose to suffer for righteousness' sake. Thank you.